Museum of the Moving Image welcomes you to the Pinewood Dialogues Online, an archive of conversations with innovative creative figures in film, television, and digital media. Visit Museum of the Moving Image in New York City or online at www.movingimage.us.
Please welcome Tim Burton. Congratulations. It's a great, great movie. And we just finished a retrospective here of your career. A lot of people saw all your movies, so this applause is for an amazing body of work.
What's the fence back there for?
Some of your fans were a little worried about
caged animals.
So, actually, what I want to ask you about first is...
we'll feed the back row later. Don't throw any peanuts.
We have your producers up there, for one thing. So,
where's okay. The key?
The film is based on a very wonderful sort of short book by Daniel Wallace. And it's a book that's almost like a sketchbook in style. It's got sort of episodes, short chapters, and almost has a feeling of one of your sketchbooks. If you're doing a completely straight adaptation, you would have ended with the big fish in the river when the son goes to the river. And then the funeral, the sort of last section, I'm assuming, was your invention.
I read the script before I read the book, and I was glad I did, actually, because I think it was a case of where John, the writer, actually helped kind of focus the material. I mean, I think, in some ways it's good to not have a novel that's extremely well-known, big, thick, heavy, thing that everybody loves, just because I think it's easier to adapt into a film somehow, a little less daunting. So I thought that John took what Daniel seemed like trying to do and just helped focus it. So
and this is John August who wrote Go and... Charlie's Angels, right? Uh-huh. The Full Throttle, I believe.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's right. Hard to believe. The same guy. Multi-talented.
Versatile.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you read the script before the book.
Yeah. And like I said, I think that he did, there was a freedom to what he did that just seemed to be not under the heaviness of, like I said, a classic, well-known novel.
The film sort of begs the question of your... It's such a personal film, or such a deeply emotional film. I usually don't ask personal questions, but I'm sure this must have had some resonance in terms of your relationship with your father, and you just...
Yeah, a little bit, but it had actually more to do with Son of Godzilla. That was such a touching father and son movie that I never forgot as a child. And, I think it's a thing where... everybody loses a parent, and no matter what your relationship is, that it obviously cause for reflect. And I found that even though I wasn't really close to him, that I still had lots of emotions that were all over the place. And I thought that this film, when I read it, was a good way of sort of visually and, since it's a film, exploring those sort of feelings which are complicated and hard to actually put into words.
Yeah. Now, the film just has a mythological feeling. I mean, it has the feeling of a sort of classic story, a classic fable. And I'm just wondering if you could talk about your approach to the style and look. I mean, this film just has such a great physical look to it.
Well, I mean, I grew up loving movies, so I realized that I love sort of the kind of mythology, folk tale kind of, because that's basically what movies are as well. So, from like Jason, the Argonauts on, where you've got sort of classic sort of mythological representations of things, the magical town or city, like all these sort of images, so that they were just sort of variations on all the kind of classic imagery that way, and symbols.
One thing I love about the movie is the way you use the real locations. I know with Sleepy Hollow, that was a case where you had to wind up building most of what we saw. But I think here, the landscape of Alabama, the rivers in Alabama seem to play a key role.
It's nice to go to a place that and just soak up the vibe of the place. I mean, just talking to people and just the light, you do get a flavor of something that you can't get if you're shooting wherever, on a soundstage or in Los Angeles. So it was good to go down there and soak up the vibe and the chicken fat and all that other stuff. Whatever, yeah.
And apparently you were based at, in a sort of very sort of sleepy small town.
Yeah, I think I was actually staying, it seemed like where they shot Blair Witch Project somehow. But I don't know, the terrain looked awfully similar to me. Yeah, but you know, you're there working, so it's not like you're there to sightsee. You
right.
sort of see it in a more under the surface way, which is yeah. always more interesting.
How involved were you in the production design area? The house.
I showed up a few days during the production of
the Edwards House. The Bloom House is beautiful, and that was built. That's not something you found.
That was most of that was there.
Really,
we just added a little bit to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean that was the thing. There, you know, it was a film where we were fairly quick schedule, so we were shooting very quickly. So we had to move sometimes three locations in a day. You know, it's like. You know, you and put on your baseball outfit and, put on it. You did like four sports in one day, you know.
Really?
So we were like moving around a lot. And so, you know, we didn't have an opportunity to overbuild a lot of stuff. We built Spectre and all. But, you know, it was important, though, to use as much live. I mean, we didn't even do a day of blue screen. We did everything. It just sort of needed a handmade kind of quality because of the nature of it and the stories. We tried to keep the effects as human as possible and doing them as live and some in camera. I mean, we did do a little bit of stuff, but always kept it, you know, as much real as we could.
Yeah. And can you talk about your work with actors? Sometimes the visual style is what's talked about most with your films, but there are so many great performances in the movie.
Well, we were very lucky to get good actors, and it was an interesting case because we couldn't think of just in the case of like Albert and Ewan and Allison and Jessica, you couldn't quite think of just one person.
You had to think
in tandem, and so that was interesting and difficult. And but we were very again. I just felt lucky every day because they were really good, and we shot all out of sequence, so it was not like they. You know, it was a real puzzle that way. So. You know, I like working with actors that don't really care how they look. So, you know, they're kind of like, there's an openness to them, and they're kind of more, I find, adventurous and kind of open to trying things.
Some of the characters, or a lot of the characters in your films, are much more introverted. I mean, this is a real great extroverted character, and I'm just wondering what it was sort of like working with this character of Edward.
Well, it was fun, you know. I mean, that's why Albert is so great, because he, you know, you can't, somebody either has that kind of thing in their personality, and so it's just, and when you're around somebody like that, you kind of get the joy of that, and you also get, you know, from the son's point of view, the sort of positive and negative of the whole thing. So, you know, it was an interesting challenge to get the sort of positive, negative between those two characters, and,
yeah. And was Albert Finney cast first? Because you and
well, we had to kind of do it together. I mean, that's the thing. It's like we couldn't go out and go Albert and then not
then
get
who,
you.
Yeah.
You know, so I remember seeing a picture of Albert Finney and Tom Jones, and it struck us that it was very much like Ewan. And then we pulled out. There a couple of years earlier, there was one of those People magazine separated at birth type of things.
Right.
So we said, see, People magazine thinks it's a good idea, too. So. Sanctioned by casting, yes. Thank you. That'll be the only thanks. No,
the dialect, there's a real nice quality to it. I mean, it feels sort of an old-fashioned. I mean, it feels like Southern dialect, but it's not sort of cliche.
I mean, I realized after, deciding to do the film, I like, quietly to myself one weekend shortly thereafter, I said to myself, I hate Southern movies. I really, I don't, there's a certain thing about it that I just don't like. So I didn't tell anybody that. but it was important there to kind of get. I mean, I remember liking to Kill a Mockingbird and feeling like, well, there is a lyrical aspect to the language, and so we tried to go for what was sort of a more poetic cadence and a little bit less of the come on, tell you a story sitting on the porch with a mint julep type of thing that I always equate to it. So. They were all very good at trying to capture that other type of slightly more lyrical, poetic cadence to it.
Yeah. And how did this tie in with the way you shot the film? If you could talk a bit just about whether, there's a poetic quality, I think, to the compositions, and there's a simplicity and beauty to the way the film looks. If you could talk about a bit about how.
Yeah, I mean, I don't storyboard it any as much. I mean, we do storyboard, but mm-hmm. I don't pay attention quite as much, just because it's, you know, as you work with actors, you realize, oh, it's just, that's the fun. And so you get enough of an idea, and then you kind of, you know, especially when you're fighting with the weather and locations a lot, since we're outside a lot. So, you know, you try to keep open to things. But, you know, that's the fun part of it, is the shooting of it. It's the hardest part, but it's the most interesting. And, you know, just trying to find a balance from the stories to the reality. And again, not so it didn't really turn on and off like a faucet, but it was a bit more stream of conscious. So, you know, that was always trying to be aware of that throughout.
Yeah. And what kind of production was it was in terms of difficulty? There's sort of a, you know, again, the sort of intimacy and simplicity to the story, but you have lots of animals and lots of sets and
what? Lots of animals. That's always, yeah. Well, and we're also in like a tornado zone. So like the scene where we were shooting Danny, you know, naked in the forest, the next day was 3 feet underwater. So we had a whole circus that was, we shot. So we were quite lucky, but I mean, the tent almost blew away in a tornado. And
is there any film that you've made that you would have done differently?
You mean like not do it kind of a thing? Sure. I mean, you know, I don't look at things that way. I think that, you know, I sort of treat them all, you know, because you put a lot into it, even whether it's good or piece of crap, you know, I still put as much, you know, you put as much into it anyway. So, you know, I think somebody once said, you know, they are kind of like your children, you know, they may, you know, have flaws, but you still kind of are close to them. So, yeah, I always look at it more like little time capsules and things. So I, you know, if it's got rough edges and all, which they do, it's okay to me, you know.
And what was the decision process like to make this? I mean, you've done two very huge productions before this. And
well, this was nice because, again, it had a script before there was a release date, which was nice. So that was a chalk-up one for that. And it was a script that everybody liked, which, again, whoa, when does that... I can't remember that one happening. So it was not, you know, it was a very, you know, it's amazing all the other stuff you go through when you don't have those very, what should be, number one elements, you know, right off the bat. And so it was good for that reason,
okay.
Too. It was
great. Yeah. Batman, will Batman come to Broadway?
I think it's going to go straight to an ice show. No, I don't know what they, you know. I hung up my tap shoes many years ago. I don't know. It's, you know, I have no plans for that one.
Will Batman be released on DVD like that?
Yeah, well, that's a sort of a Warner Brothers thing, but I would imagine now that they finally realize that, well, DVDs are kind of here for a while, yeah. So I think they might, you know, I think they were kind of holding out for a while to see how that was all going to go, but yeah, I'd like to do that sometime.
Okay, Carl the Giant, could you tell us about him?
I believe he was a bouncer in a Philadelphia nightclub for a while. I think he trained as a lawyer. You know, he's amazing, you know, guy. When I met him, just something about him and his voice and just what he goes through all day. You knew he understood the part. So, but he just had a quality to him that I thought was really nice Yeah, he's afraid of heights, which is kind of ironic. No, but a really, you know, he's an amazing, good guy, yeah.
Okay, if you can talk about Danny Elfman's score
for this
film.
Things. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always with Danny, it's like, try to be, you know, a character, and it was, you know, it is like a character, so it's somebody that needs to, you know, when you're dealing with the tonal all over the place, find the right integrating moments, and it's I always enjoy working with him because it's always, you know, this was I felt something slightly different and new and for him, and so I thought he did a beautiful, beautiful job on it. Yeah.
If there's some sense, I mean, the film ends with this beautiful passage about stories living on forever, and obviously that's what filmmakers do and hope to make movies that will, you know, last. And you know, was there a sense when you were making this that this was going to be a movie that?
No, you never think. No, you just. No, when you're making it, there's the joy of making it. And you know, there's so much other things, like I said, when I was saying earlier about a release date before a film is out, you know, before there's a script. It's like all that does is cuts out the process of doing, which is, I think, you know, when you're there on the set and you're the weather and the actors, I mean, it's an immediate moment, which is so, I think, beautiful and important. Yeah. And you never want that to get lost by thinking about what's going to happen or right. where it's going to go or that, you know, it's just the joy of doing it.
Okay, what will put a DVD for this?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it so much. I mean, the only time I think I've ever, the only time I'm doing it, I mean, I'm not putting them in the movie, it's for the Ed Wood DVD where I'm going to put in some separate scenes just because I thought they were interesting on their own, not integrated into the film. But I don't know, you know, you also like a little bit of time. I think, you know, you just finish something, you like a little bit of distance to kind of sort of take it all in and soak it in. So hopefully there'll be a little bit of time to assess and kind of analyze what was taken out, and not a whole lot, because I don't, you know, you shoot, you know, try to edit as we go, because it's like schedules are so quick. It's, you know, the idea of shooting something and having a, you know, 3.5 hour film, you know, looking at it like a week after you finish and have to cut an hour out, you know, it's just too painful of a idea to have it that quick. So try to do it as you go along and not shoot too much extra stuff. Well, I got the script was sent to me by the producers in the studio, and so it was, like I said, it was nice to get something that people liked and they, you know, they wanted to do, and, you know, not have to go through, usually you could spend 6 months, a year going through some thing to either get the script or get them to want to do it and all of that, so pretty clean that way.
Oh, rumors about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in terms of...
Well, we've got a tie-in with McDonald's, so I guess it's real. It's all in. The mark of reality. Now, I don't, you know, again, I would try to get a script, and I try now. I've done enough where I've said, done yes to things where just... Because I get all into the drama of kind of, will we get a script? Will we won't before it comes out? I don't know. Let's... Okay, so, you know, I just feel like I kind of got caught up in that, but it's a little, so I'm trying to watch that one in the future.
Your films are very imaginative and sort of fearless, and just, you know, how did this evolve? Because from the very beginning, your films really do seem to spring from
that. I feel lucky to, you know, like working at Disney where it was like probably the worst time in the company's history, which allowed me the opportunity to do a couple of short films, which, you know, if I had been there at the time when it was successful, I probably wouldn't have gotten the opportunity. So it's always been a weird dynamic where I've been able to, like, kind of let me do whatever, you know. So I've had the luck of kind of being able to do what I wanted to do. And so, you know, once you get that, you don't want to go back, you know. So, I mean, I don't think about it any other way, really.
In terms of, you've talked about your childhood, growing up in Burbank as being sort of, in a funny way, almost similar to this, you know, Edward, like growing up in a small town and wanting to get out of it. I mean, do you relate to your childhood to this film?
Well, yeah, I mean, you relate everything. I mean, I think you have to relate everything to what you do just because that's your only reference of how to get something done and achieve something. So, yeah, you know, you try to, I actually identify with every character on some level, you know, even if, yeah, if it's a dog or a woman or any kind of character or a bird or a, you know, ape or, you know, whatever. It's like you try to just relate to it. Mm-hmm. I guess in, especially growing up in the Hollywood sort of system, you get labeled, and I've always I don't like to think too much about myself. I mean, I like to think about the material and think about what you're trying to do, but I don't try to think about myself so much because it's like, I've been spending my whole life trying not to think about myself. So, you know, the point is to just kind of keep fresh and not make yourself into a thing, you know? It's like you just kind of remain a human being and try to do the things that interest you and see what happens.
This is a sort of jump, but you became a father about a little over a month ago, so how has that changed you?
That's, you know, it's the weirdest thing, you know. People, like, you know, you grow up, when people call you weird or other people weird, and it's actually the weirdest thing that you could ever do, this thing. And we're all a result of it, you know? So, it's amazing.
Okay, do you have a desire to make a straight-up horror movie?
I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could be really, ultimately, really scary in that way. You know, because it's a real thing to do that. And I think I had, you know, such a love of them, and they actually made me so happy that I never treated them as horror. You know, I treated them as like, I guess they're like my Rocky kind of movies, you know, the life-affirming, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know, Frankenstein up on the steps, blaring music, you know. But, I mean, I do think I kind of maybe come at it from a different way. So I don't know if I do love it, so I would always think about it or entertain it, but I would like to try it sometime. I just don't know if I could be quite as scary enough.
Okay. Do you like working with actors that you've worked with before, or
Both? I mean, I like, you know, what's fun about working with somebody like who Johnny, I've worked with three. You know, it's fun because you get to see them do different things each time, and that's a real energy that's unique to that specific kind of thing. When you work with people that like playing characters and doing it, it's a lot of fun to see them change. And then it's fun to mix it up because you meet somebody new and you get a whole new energy with that. And so they both can be, you know, I've felt for the most part just very lucky because you do, it's, you know, it's being around creative people, you know, it's not stupid, but it's like that energy rubs off on everybody and it's just a lot of fun.
Talk a bit about working with Ewan McGregor because that's such a bold performance, and it has to be. Well, I mean, it has to be perfect to work.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, everybody had a particularly tricky job, and his was to play a sort of romanticized version of a character. So,
right.
To do that while still keeping it a human being, you know, was really, really good. And you know, it was kind of a bad joke. It's like, okay, wrestle with the wolf today, you know. There's a whole chasing of a pig, which is cut out. You know, there was more animals for the DVD. Yeah. Right, yeah, that's a good DVD, yeah. All right. More animals will be. No, but I mean, he's just got such an openness, you know, and to do that kind of open-hearted stuff that he does in the film, which is, you know, it's very difficult, I would find, yeah. You know, to kind of be that sort of open-hearted and, you know, to get the idealistic thing, to get the comedy, but also to keep it a human being. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very good. Really good.
Okay, how do you choose your cinematographer and convey your vision to the cinematographer?
Well, the last couple of times I go with people that don't speak English very well, so that suits me just fine, because I don't... They say the same of me. That was good, you know. That's a very, you know, you have to like, you know. It's like there's a few people that you have to like because they're around you all the time and it's part of your whole thing. So it's nice to like the DP and the art director, and all. But no, it was, you know, you go with somebody that you look a little bit at other people's work, but not too much. It's a little bit about how you relate to them and. You know, Philippe was good because he, you know, liked to work quick and we sort of needed to, and it sort of keeps an energy going. Yeah. And he sort of got the feeling of sort of trying to sort of stream of conscious up the kind of, so it doesn't, like I said earlier about the stories and the reality stuff. So, you know, it's just it's like making up a relationship quickly, you know, it's like that, got to be kind of that deep.
And we have an exhibition of your artwork upstairs, and it's been said that you used your sketches and your drawings to convey ideas to your cinematographer.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that way, because it's like, I also like to, people that will look at something like that and not be literal about it, because they're obviously not literal sketches that can be translated, you know, literally. So somebody who gets it on that sort of emotional level, you know, that's the kind of person that I like that way.
I was wondering if this another jump, in, but the Wizard of Oz, I just sort of kept feeling like there was a like this film echoed the Wizard of Oz to me, and I wonder if that was conscious at all or not.
Well, I don't know. It wasn't conscious, but yeah. I mean, it's such, you know, those kind of movies, you know, but you would also say any movie has an impact. You know, that's
right.
The one that has an impact. Of course, all these movies, but I don't know. We never, like, consciously, you know, said anything about that.
And somebody was going to ask this.
Yeah.
This is your third Edward film. So.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I didn't play this. The other two I planned. This one was the name, and so I. Yeah, no, I know. I know. It is true. I will think enough about myself to go like, ask that question. Like, what's it with? Because I don't really like the name Ed. Actually, it's like I thought, you know, I always have like circus images, but I always hated the circus. You know, it's like you kind of do. I don't know. You know, so it's like. The Ed one I don't get. I'll let you know in a couple of years after some more therapy.
How long did it take to shoot?
About 60 days, something like that. 60, something like that. Yeah.
Oh, did these pairs of actors work together?
But you know what? It was interesting because I thought, you know, that they spent a little bit of time with each other. But, you know, it was interesting because... The challenge on it was, Ewan wasn't playing exactly, he was playing it, but he was also playing it as a sort of romanticized version. So, you know, and again, like I said, we had this weird schedule where Albert shot and Ewan didn't, only shot a couple of days in there. So it was more of a case of them spending a little bit of time, but it was not like this overkill of like them like going, well, let's both do this and that. I was, because I felt they're also both kind of intuitive actors, and I think they like to approach things, I sense, on a certain level. So there was some time spent, a little bit of that connection, and then I sort of let them go because it felt... And I understand it. It's like a certain type of, you get enough rehearsal in, but not too much, because it's the joy of being there on the set and doing it was where they really want to go.
Okay, well, again, I want to invite everybody to go upstairs and see the exhibition of Tim Burton drawings, and congratulations again,
thanks for being here. Thanks for coming. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. The Pinewood Dialogues at Museum of the Moving Image are made possible by generous support from the Pannonia Foundation. To learn more about the museum, visit www.movingimage.us.